from the Gettysburgian and 91.1 WZBT Gettysburg. I'm Jamie Welch, and this is On Target.
I'm Ben Pont. Today we'll recap news from the last several editions of the Gettysburgian, including an update on Greek life and the student senate elections.
Then, we'll talk to entrepreneur in residence Drew Murphy and student coordinators Delia Craig and Noah Pompan about the Entrepreneurship and Social Innovation Initiative. Stay with us.
All right, so it's time to get into the news, and this is our first, I guess you could say, traditional podcast in a little while, so we have to go back a little ways, starting with the cover lead story in our print edition, the right after spring break, which was about the Greek evaluations each year. The Office of Student Activities in Greek Life evaluates all of the chapters on campus, all the fraternities and sororities, and we now have the results of those evaluations. So they get evaluated in four areas, and then they receive an overall rating. And so then in each of those four areas, they receive a score of either Gettysburg great, above average, satisfactory, underachieving, and unacceptable. And so in as those results are aggregated together, the overall ratings are compiled, and if you receive an underachieving rating for 2 years consecutively, you're toast. Your chapter gets derecognized by the college. And if you receive an unacceptable rating in 1 year, you are similarly derecognized by the college. So this year, in total, there were two chapters that received underachieving, one chapter that received Gettysburg great, nine chapters that received above average, and three that received satisfactory. So, Jamie, let's start. What were your biggest takeaways from this year's evaluation process?
I think that we've seen, if you look at the historical improvement, there were chapters that had posted underachieving in previous years, and now, like, for instance, Crow had previously posted underachieving, and they've been able to improve their ratings. So I think that the system, as it's set up with, you know, that sort of two strikes and you're out system, does push them to at least do better in the particular items that the review process is measuring.
Yeah,
now, whether that means that they're actually better, that's up for debate. But certainly by these metrics, it does push them to at least improve the metrics that are measured by this process.
And Lambda Chi was another organization that took a step forward in this year's rating process. They ended up posting an above average rating. They were the second highest rated fraternity, right behind Alpha Chi Rho. Well, I shouldn't say that. All five fraternities achieved above average. Two of them were Alpha Chi Rho and Lambda. The reason that I'm saying they appeared in that order is because that's alphabetical, but that is not, in fact, a numerical indication of their scores. Sigma Chi was actually the highest scoring fraternity, highest scoring chapter on the fraternity side of things. They actually did achieve the threshold, the aggregate scoring threshold to get Gettysburg great, but according to the policy, you need to also achieve Gettysburg great in each of the five, or excuse me, in each of the four subcategories in order to receive that rating, and Sigma Chi received above average in two of them, so they were not eligible to receive the overall Gettysburg great rating.
Yeah, the only chapter that ended up scoring that special rating this year was Tri Sigma, which I believe this is their first year in the Gettysburg great category. Alpha Delta Pi, I believe, was in a similar situation
as Sigma Chi,
and they had achieved Gettysburg great in the past, so they slipped down to above average, but they did have the score for it. They just didn't score Gettysburg great in every category and were ineligible to receive that rating.
Indeed. And so all of these evaluations are publicly available documents on the Office of Student Activities website. This was probably the first year in which we had paid significant attention to them at the Gettysburgian. But given that Greek life is undergoing a review, an ongoing review, and that, you know, there's significant talk of whether this rating system is effective, I think it's warranted to look into that. And then the other thing that's released simultaneously with these evaluation, chapter evaluations, are chapter grade reports. And so those reports demonstrate the new members' GPA for the fall in which they pledged, as well as the organization's overall term GPA and cumulative GPA. And so in that respect, there were some highs and some lows. What's interesting to note, and this, as John Allen, the assistant director of Office of Student Activities and Greek Life, this follows a national trend showing that women outperform men academically in college, but all of the sororities on campus, the lowest sorority was higher than the highest fraternity in terms of term GPA, or in terms of overall GPA. And so, you know, Jamie, what were your takeaways from the grade reports? There was one organization, obviously, that struggled mightily in terms of its new members, and that would be Phi Gamma Delta, more commonly known as Fiji, posting a 1.92 for its seven new members. What were your thoughts on all of this?
I think overall, the grade reports are not terrible for most organizations. I mean, I think it's pretty much on par when you look at the average all-student GPAs. It's fairly close to those, if not higher. So I think overall, the story here is that the performance of affiliated people is fairly average when compared with non-affiliated. Now, the obvious exception here would be Phi Gamma Delta, specifically that new member GPA, which the evaluation report released by Osagel called alarming. And it certainly is. I mean, 1.92, you need a 2.0 to graduate. So certainly there is something wrong there. And we had asked the president and the former president of Fiji to comment on that, and they said that obviously they recognize that that's not a great number either, but they did claim that that number may have been affected by outliers, something that the Student Activities and Greek Life Office sort of dispelled and said that it wasn't completely explainable by outliers. But they did say that they're implementing a plan to be able to bring that GPA up moving forward.
Yeah, so each Greek organization each year is required to submit an academic plan that has to get approved by the Office of Academic Advising. And it is these plans that tend to be the focal points of academic efforts. It's where all the academic efforts of the chapter are kind of aggregated. And so certainly Phi Gamma Delta, I think, will be looking to make revisions to its plan. Brandon Casamassima, their president, was quoted in the Gettysburgian as saying, quote, "It's a bad outcome for our pledge class, just as it would be a bad outcome for any segment of the student population." He noted that in previous years, disciplinary issues led to, quote, college-prescribed probations coupled with self-imposed social restrictions that created negative momentum and impacted our ability to effectively recruit new members in the quantity to which we were historically accustomed. And that is manifested by the fact that I believe they're down to 27 members on campus. So, you know, we'll see where that goes. Other organizations, to your point, Jamie, there were a fair amount that were above 3.0 overall. It's worth noting that the average GPA campus-wide is in, I believe it's 3.2.
Yeah, 3.22, it looks like, for all student overall GPA. So.
Yeah, I mean, so the all student figure is higher at that 3.22 level. But, you know, what's the difference between a 3.18 and a 3.22?
Not that much.
We're talking about, you know, that could very easily be one member got a B instead of a B+, and you know that could be a 0.02 switch. So by and large, to your point, there are several organizations that are doing quite well, although several other organizations
not so much
below 3.0. Alpha Tau Omega came in at a 2.94 overall term GPA. Phi Delta Theta came in at a 2.67 overall term GPA. So certainly there are some concerns there, and I think Joe Guerrieri, the outgoing director of Student Activities in Greek Life, he'll be moving over to the major giving department, according to the website.
Development Alumni Parent Relations,
indeed,
which is quite a mouthful.
A dapper figure.
Dapper.
But in any case, Joe, I think, you know, said that they're aware of these issues, and I'm sure they will continue to look into addressing them. $67,490 is the next figure I have for you, Jamie. Would you like to guess what that figure represents?
Is that how much you're going to have to pay next year, Ben?
Gee, it's almost like I set you up for this one. Yes, in fact, the comprehensive fee was announced a couple of weeks ago, will increase to $67,490. I think we may have already discussed that, but it's just worth raising again, I do believe.
Yeah, and we talked about this last week on the podcast with Daryl Jones, the Associate Director of Admissions. And if you didn't get a chance to listen to that interview, it's really great. He talks about trying to increase diversity here on campus and how that high cost can make some people not want to apply because they don't realize the amount of aid that is available. Because, you know, I guess it's some 60% of students do receive some form of financial aid from the college. So most people, the majority, are not paying the sticker price. But still, it is very expensive when compared with other institutions, even after financial aid often.
Well, yeah. I mean, you can say someone has a $25,000 a year scholarship, but, you know, they're still paying $168,000 over 4 years. So, yeah. You know, that's nothing to sneeze at there. And so moving on to this week's news, I think the biggest news is Student Senate. And the Gettysburg College Student Senate did hold its elections for president, vice president. That was a campus-wide election. And then also elections were held at Senate for those other executive board positions, such as treasurer and secretary. Those are no longer elected by the full student body in accordance with revisions that were made to the Constitution. So there were two forums, both of which I had the privilege and pleasure of moderating. At those forums, candidates shared their ideas, their visions for Student Senate. And then after the first of those forums, which was for president and then for vice president, the elections were held. The candidates for president were Haley Gluhanich and Anna Burns. And what we're told is a tight race, although figures have not been released and we're still pushing on that
them,
one.
But they have not been willing to provide them as of yet. So hopefully we get those soon.
Yeah. In any case, Haley Gluhanich was the winner in what was been called a close election. And then on the vice president side, Pat Custer, rising senior, defeated rising sophomore Marissa Belanda. Now, interestingly, the next week in that candidate forum, Anna Burns, who lost the presidential race, and Marissa Belanda, who lost the vice presidential race, went head-to-head for secretary, and it was Marissa who came away with that position. She will be joined by the winners of three uncontested races. Nick Arbaugh will be the treasurer. Nick, who's a member of the Budget Management Committee currently, has been on this podcast before discussing fiscal issues regarding Senate. Abby Hauer, first year, will be serving as parliamentarian, replacing Pat McKenna. And finally, Larissa Horodisky will be serving as club's liaison, and I may well have just butchered her last name. My apologies. So three of those races were uncontested, which was, interestingly, one of the four areas that Student Senate sought to address when it made these electoral reforms. Those four areas were low voter turnout, low student interest in running for positions, too many open positions for the number of interested people, an imbalance between interests across class years, and club representatives wanting to vote on items. So we'll be seeing the launch of affinity groups, and we've spoken about those before, but the affinity group model will allow clubs to have greater voting representation, and we'll see where all this goes from there, Jamie. Any takeaways from your end on the whole election process?
Well, although we didn't see a huge increase in the amount of candidates, which was one of their goals, my understanding is that we did see an increase in the amount of people participating in the election as a result of moving away from the CNAV voting format to the new Google form. I think she did share the actual total number of people who voted, but I don't remember that exactly. exact number, but it was definitely higher than numbers that we've heard for past years. So they've at least checked off one of those boxes.
Yeah, I actually don't believe that total numbers on how many people have voted have been released, at least not to my knowledge, nor have they been in previous years. So we're just kind of relying on what we've been told.
Well, yeah, I was certainly told that by people involved in the elections process that the numbers were higher than last year.
How much higher, though?
We are in the dark, so we'll let you know when we find out.
Indeed.
Well, Ben, I guess it's time for our Sounds of Sunderman segment. Who do we have this week?
Well, I hope they're as excited about it as your voice was right there. We do have the Sunderman Conservatory of Music's Wind Symphony playing Shape of You by Ed Sheeran.
What a great performance there by the Wind Symphony. And now I believe we have Ben Potts with our Bullet Report.
It's been another exciting week in Gettysburg College Athletics. Here we go. Women's tennis lost to Johns Hopkins 9-0. The men's tennis team also lost to Johns Hopkins 8-1. The baseball team defeated Franklin and Marshall 4-3 in extra innings. The softball team defeated Haverford 4-3 and again 1-0. The women's lacrosse team defeated Swarthmore 16-3 and then the men's lacrosse team defeated Swarthmore 12-6. The men's tennis team lost to Swarthmore 9-0. The baseball team had a couple of games postponed due to the weather against Washington College. The men's track and field team finished 10th of 19 at the Millersville Metrics. The women's track and field team finished 9th of 19. The women's tennis team defeated Bryn Mawr 9-0. The women's golf team finished 2nd of 9 at the McDaniel Spring Invitational. The men's golf team finished 4th of 9. The baseball team lost to Washington College 12-5. Then again, they lost 8-3. The softball team defeated Dickinson 5-2, then lost 3-1. The women's golf team finished 1st of 2 at the Dickinson. I don't know how you finish 1st of 2 in a golf match. That seems to just be a head-to-head match, but don't tell me how to list things. Anyway, the men's golf team finished 3rd of 15 at the Ursinus Spring Invitational. The men's tennis team lost to F&M 9-0. The women's tennis team lost to F&M 6-3. The baseball team, in a game that sounded more like a football score, lost to Johns Hopkins 17-14. The men's lacrosse team defeated Dickinson 12-11. The softball team defeated Lebanon Valley 6-4, then lost 7-4. Thus endeth the Bullet Report.
Well, thank you for that, Ben. As always, we'll be right back with the Entrepreneurship and Social Innovation Initiative team members for an interview about their program. Joining us now on Target to talk about the new Entrepreneurship and Social Innovation Initiative is Professor Drew Murphy, and also seniors at Gettysburg College, Noah Pompan and Delia Craig. Thank you so much for joining us.
Jamie, thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
All right. So I'm going to start out, Drew, if you could just talk a little bit about your background and what brought you here to Gettysburg College.
Jamie, I am a 1984 graduate of Gettysburg College, economics major. My wife was a political science major. I did finance for 25 years. Habitual entrepreneur is kind of the best description that people give of me. And I had an opportunity to come back and teach finance as an adjunct in 2008. I thought I'd do it for a semester. And 11 years later, I've taught 2,000 of you, including yourself, finance and advanced finance. What brought me back here? A passion for the place. I think they're remarkable students. I think we have an incredible opportunity to do things, and I am very excited to participate.
And so in addition to your role as sort of the only finance professor on campus, you also were recently appointed by the president of the college to head up this new Entrepreneurship and Social Innovation Initiative, and you've been named the Entrepreneur in Residence. So can you talk a little bit about how President Riggs approached you and sort of what your role is as that Entrepreneur in Residence?
Well, as you know well, President Riggs is not particularly subtle in her approach, and she called and said, Drew, can we speak? And I said, yes, ma'am, we can. We had a lovely conversation in her office, and she said, Drew, we think entrepreneurship is a skill set we should develop. We think we should develop an initiative. Would you please take charge of it? Didn't know what I was doing. Kind of thought I knew what I was signing up for, and we've been making it up ever since. To my left here, we have two of our three student leaders who have been extraordinary in our efforts. And our goal was really to, one, expand on the fellowships that we've done in years past. Jamie, as you know, for the last 4 years, we've had been running an entrepreneurial fellowship program that was started by some incredible alumni of ours. We've made a number of considerable awards. And we wanted to expand that more from just business startup, but into innovative thinking, about socially responsible problems. And so expanding the scope to everything across the campus, everything across the curriculum was a goal of ours. I think President Riggs and Provost Appy were very encouraged by the notion that entrepreneurship is really about learning how to use what you've been taught, not a discipline of itself. And so that was our goal. I'm happy to say we've exposed, I think, 400 people to the ideas this year, and we've had 50 submissions to our competitions. And so we feel like we're well on the way to where we're heading.
Can you talk a little bit about what exactly social innovation is, a little bit more in depth? I know you touched on it before, but you know, we've had the entrepreneurial aspect before with the fellowship, but this new social innovation piece, what is the college trying to achieve specifically through social innovation, and what exactly is it?
So social innovation and entrepreneurship, I think, go hand in hand together. By entrepreneurial, we mean thinking creatively, bringing energy that wasn't there prior, and being candidly disruptive for the purpose of positive change. Social innovation is applying the discipline of entrepreneurship to a problem that isn't necessarily a for-profit business. So, for example, we've had idea competitions this year that have tackled global warming by using toy polar bears tracked by GPS with real polar bears to create awareness about the actual effect on polar bears from climate change. We've had three people submit ideas around campus about how to make the Gettysburg a greener and friendlier community. The easy way for me to think about it is if we're less disruptive to the world, whether it's the environment or whether it's the people we interact with, We're here creating a better place. And so how do we do things like that? And so I've candidly started to think about this as like the innovation factory. We'd like to be the place where people bring an idea, learn how to think about their idea, learn how to develop their idea into something that's testable, and then if it is testable, kind of propose it as a fellowship.
One of the new things that ESII is doing is developing entrepreneurial programming on campus to help support people in their quest to become entrepreneurs. And I know that you, Noah, and Delia have been working to develop some of those programs and have been working very closely with that. So can you talk a little bit about those programs and the themes of what you have put on this year and what you hope to achieve moving forward?
Sure. So here at a liberal arts college, one of the things that we've been trying to do is connect people across disciplines in order to come out with better ideas, more creative solutions, etc. So some of the programs that we've done include a video series put together by an entrepreneur, Heinrich, who talks about how the entrepreneurial mindset and the design thinking and innovation are ways of thinking that you can apply to every aspect of your life here at the college and professionally. And so this video series and discussion afterwards has helped students come up with their own ideas, work together to come up with ideas, and just have an outlet for that creativity. In addition to that, we've run the two competitions. The first is the Entrepreneurial Fellowship, which we've run for a number of years now. But the second and the newer and more exciting one for us is the Ideas Competition, where you just have to have a good idea. You propose it to us. We had a panel of alumni and faculty who judged these, and the winning ideas will hopefully be implemented next year as part of our programming. So, for example, one of the good ideas on campus could then be implemented through a team of ESII students, and that would include that would be part of our programming next year.
So, Delia hit the nail on the head. Our programming this year was focused on enabling students to be able to act upon their ideas, to have the building blocks to actually have their ideas or entrepreneurial fellowships come to fruition. I had the opportunity to participate in the entrepreneurial fellowship my sophomore year in 2016. It was an amazing opportunity, but once I was awarded the fellowship, I then had to retroactively learn about entrepreneurship and how to actually get an idea off the ground. The goal with our program this year was to give students the building blocks to get started right away upon receiving either an idea competition award or entrepreneurial fellowship.
I'd just like to add that both of them commented on the level of participation we had this year. In addition to extensive student participation, we had over 30 alumni, faculty, and administration people judge and give input on the ideas. Many of the ideas or projects we're very hopeful to develop into next year. And so as we bring these to campus, if you have an interest, please let us know. We're looking for people to participate in these projects as we go forward.
The Entrepreneurial Fellowship obviously comes with a $10,000 grant, but these ideas may have different levels of funding required. Does it come from the same funding source as the Entrepreneurial Fellowship? Is there a special fund set up specifically for these ideas? Is there a funding limit? How are these ideas evaluated in terms of whether they're going to be funded or not?
So one of the changes we've made going forward is to make it so that all ideas, whether big or small, can be given recognition and awards. And so as we go forward, Jamie, the fellowship grants will be a $1,000 award for the winner, plus an ability to propose a grant that will support their funding based on their needs. Some of this year's fellowships actually don't require funding, they just need college support. Other fellowships require a lot of funding, so we've separated the award and the funding, and it's become a much more effective program than the way it was in the past.
So you had an event in the attic over the weekend that I hear was very well attended. Is that right?
Yes. So we had over 200 students in attendance and over probably 30 to 40 alumni, faculty, staff, and parents who also attended. So we call that a great success for that being our first event. And after one semester, we've drummed up enough support to actually put that on. So we actually began with a panel of three absolutely incredible women who are all working to improve social innovation in large companies, for instance, Merrill Lynch and Morgan Stanley. And we had them kind of talk about the fact that entrepreneurship is not just a startup in Silicon Valley, but how you can apply it to your everyday thinking and all of that. Following that, we announced the winners of our ideas competition. And after that, we had a social networking hour that really gave students and alumni the chance to just talk over their common interests and common ideas and have a chance to network within our college.
I understand that the winners of the ideas competition were announced at this event. Is that right? So can you share the winning ideas and what they plan to do?
Yeah, absolutely. So Natalie Purinton, who's a environmental science student here at Gettysburg, is extremely passionate about the environment, tackled several ideas of implementing sustainability goals at Gettysburg College. We had Annie McNamara, who Drew touched on this earlier, had this solution to combat global warming through tracking a real-life polar bear with a plush toy. We had Andalasia Hughes Murdoch, who had this idea to set up a special collection to exhibit the work of students of color at Gettysburg College. And then we also had Catherine Carrada, who had this really interesting idea to provide an educational network promoting a broad learning called Pen Pal. It would connect students from low-income communities within the United States to those in similar communities abroad. And then we also had Abigail Morelli, Nick Sontag, and William Davis, who all came together to have this idea of reducing waste in the bullet hole on campus by introducing reusable cups and other containers. And then lastly, we had Mackenzie Krantz, who had this very interesting idea that I think a lot of students have thought of, and it's why not have food in the library? Kids are spending so much time in the library studying, and you have to trek all the way to Bullitt to pick up a snack. So making use of some available space in the library, like the outdoor patio, to create a nice dining area.
Some of these ideas require more institutional support than others. So what kind of institutional support will Gettysburg College provide? Like, obviously, for the library dining area, that would require buy-in from dining services. So these ideas have been funded and you know, are being supported through the initiative, but have other college constituencies signed on to be able to support these ideas?
Jamie, as you know, one of the jobs of an entrepreneur is to be a disruptor. And one of the ways that we disrupt is we create a movement. And student interest in things create movements. And Mackenzie won primarily because she took the time to do an extensive student survey. And she developed an idea, and she focused that idea on where we what we could actually do. And so our objective in entrepreneurship now is to form a committee, to have that committee work with the powers that be to organize what might be possible. How we know there are constraints. We know we're not going to create a kitchen in the library. But how can we enable what we need, which is the deliverable of food and drink to the library, to make the base put to make this a better place, interested students in what we are trying to recruit.
And to add to that, the whole point of the ideas competition is not only I have this good idea, but maybe I don't know how I could get it done. I don't know how I could solve it. And so we're awarding these ideas whether or not they actually will be implemented. But of course, our goal is to have as many as possible implemented through a committee of students next year, which would be the beginning of our programming in the fall.
So these ideas, when they get the award, there is a monetary component that comes with it, right? So how do you plan to hold students accountable for implementing these ideas if they don't really know, if they don't really have a solid plan for how they're going to do that?
So these students have spent immense amounts of time and effort to craft these detailed problems and then their solutions to these large-scale problems. We have met with these students extensively to help connect them with other students and drum up faculty support.
Jamie, the idea competition winners, the first place winners are $1,000, honorable mentions are $500, and the prize is designed to, as an award for their effort in thinking. Mm. The purpose of the idea competition was to separate I have an idea from I'd like to actually pursue solving the problem. We're very hopeful that our best ideas will become projects for this coming year, and we'd candidly like to recruit collections of students to participate, particularly in the campus-based projects. So we're hopeful to create fellowship and fellowship-based projects out of these ideas.
The entrepreneurial fellowship, by contrast, does require a really set business plan, and they have to provide financials and all of the ways that they're going to actually implement their idea. So can we shift and talk about the entrepreneurial fellowship? I understand that the finalists for that competition were supposed to be announced at the Attic on Saturday. So can you share what some of the finalists have in mind?
So the finalists are in the process of being announced.
So they were not announced on Saturday.
We've had some overwhelming participation in the fellowships. We are very encouraged by their submissions, and we are taking our time to review carefully all of the potential opportunities. A number of people have absolutely incredible ideas. The level of sophistication has grown dramatically. But I'd like to say that three of our last year's fellowships have viable solutions working on campus this year. Our Boo Board guys have a communications app that we're very hopeful the IT department will develop, and we can Campus Rec, I believe, is using now. So we're seeing results from what we do. PetVisor is operational. In this coming year, we think that we have some remarkable awards. We have some real business potential, some very interesting campus-based ideas, and we're excited to announce the finalists and then judge them in the next few weeks.
So when do you plan on making that announcement? Are you going to have an event? Is it going to be posts on the website? How is that going to work?
The finalists will present on April the 20th, and they'll be notified thereafter of the winners. We will then be putting together kind of a campus-wide piece to talk about the ideas, the winners, and what they're going to do going forward and try and get people to engage with them.
And Noah, you are a previous winner of an entrepreneurial fellowship. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Can you talk a little bit about what you were able to do as a result of getting the fellowship funds?
Yeah, of course. So my participation in the fellowship my sophomore year was probably the most impactful thing I've done at Gettysburg. I say that because I had this opportunity to develop a business with the support of Gettysburg alums. That includes mentorship and the financial support, and go through the process of launching a business. I developed and launched a mobile app that served as a mobile social advertising tool for college campuses. Through that exercise of launching and running a business, I was able to really expand my network, get a much better understanding of how startup culture works, how venture capital works, how digital advertising functions. It was real world experience that I was getting essentially risk-free throughout my undergraduate college experience, and it's really opened a lot of doors now as I move into looking for a full-time job after graduation.
Does your project continue to operate, or?
Yeah, so we ran the mobile app for about 18 months. We launched it 6 months after winning the fellowship my sophomore year. We grew our user base to several thousand users on Gettysburg's campus and at UC Santa Barbara in California, where my co-founder went at the time. So we ran it for several months, developed several iterations of the app, but have since shuttered the app last year.
And what were the circumstances around closing the app?
Yeah, so primarily it was really expensive to keep online, and we couldn't find a way to monetize our users effectively without implementing intrusive advertising, which would not have been able to sustain the app's operation.
So you basically ran out of the runway that you'd gotten from Gettysburg.
Exactly, yeah.
Gotcha. In addition to the money that you got from Gettysburg, was there an advising component as well? Did they connect you with alumni who were able to advise you
as you sought
to build your business?
Yeah, so I was connected with Nick Johnson, Bob Allen primarily, along with several other alums. But they were extremely helpful in opening up conversations with people in the mobile app space, really showing me the ropes as to how to get a business off the ground. They're successful serial entrepreneurs and serve as entrepreneurs within large corporations now.
Jamie, I'd just like to add, I think, Noah, you would say the best experience you got was from the trials and tribulations of what you learned.
Exactly. So the fellowship provides an opportunity to fail upwards. You get a chance of building a company, and if you fail, it's still an incredible experience, and it's something most students do not have access to.
And Jamie, you brought up an excellent point. The most valuable thing we bring to the dance, we hope, is our expertise and our connections. The Gettysburg Network, the power of the network. We've launched an initiative to capture and harness that network, and every idea, every fellowship, everybody we can help, our goal is to try and connect people to them to see if they can take their idea as far as it can go, because experientially, following the path, even if the path concludes I shouldn't do this, is an incredibly valuable experience.
Drew, this question is for you. Have you seen a lot of increased engagement from alumni now that we have this new initiative that the fellowship has wrapped around?
Thanks for asking. Yes, unquestionably. We had a core of very, very dedicated alumni that were very generous in their contributions, very generous in their time. And that was probably in the order of 15 or 20 or 25 people. That network has now expanded into the hundreds. We've had some very, very considerable contributions from very generous alumni. We reached out to a lot of our recent alumni and asked them to participate in the mentor network, candidly in a rudimentary way because we're still growing technology. But we've added over 60 people in the last 4 weeks, Jamie. And so we were very, very encouraged by the possibilities. I literally had 20 people come up to me since Saturday and say, sign me up, I want to help. One young man, by example, who works at Microsoft said, my job at Microsoft is to help people that use our stuff use it better. Anything we can do to help, we're in for. So I think that our capacity to grow is exponential, Jamie. The more we engage people, the more they're going to be willing to be engaged to help us.
If people want to tap into this mentorship network but maybe don't want to go so far as submitting an entire idea, they just want to get connected with somebody to bounce ideas off of, is that something that they can do? Or
so the mentor network is something that we're beginning right now. It was a figment of Drew's imagination. It has become a tangible list that we've pulled together. We're very close to working with the college, with College Life, with Career Development to bring technology to put everybody into a usable and searchable database, Jamie. Mm-hmm. I'm optimistic that by the time everyone comes back in the fall, we'll have something deliverable that is a networking support that is not because I have an idea or because I have a fellowship, but because I'm interested in a job, I'm interested in talking to somebody that knows something.
If people want to get involved in the Entrepreneurial and Social Innovation Initiative and all of the programming, what are some opportunities for them to get involved?
So starting in the fall, because of course we're coming to the end of this semester, we will be beginning our programming for next year. If you go to gettysburg.edu/ESII, you'll see where we promote all of that. And so once we have a schedule for it, it will be on our website. We'll also be sending out information on it through email to all students at Gettysburg, and that programming will include having the opportunity to join teams to solve some of these problems that we've identified, and also to attend events like the one we just had with alumni. So that's that piece you asked about, students who maybe don't have an idea but still want to be a part of this networking program or networking community. They can attend any of those events.
And Drew, this question is for you. It's my last question. Looking forward, where do you see this initiative being in the next 5 or 10 years?
So when President Riggs asked me to do this, I said to her, Janet, I'd just like to apologize in advance for the possibility that we might actually do some of these things. And I believe that we've surprised everyone with what we've done so far. If I had my guess of where we'll be in 5 years, I would hope that we actually have the Gettysburg Venture Fund. I believe that we would have the Gettysburg Innovation Factory. I would believe that it would integrate innovative thinking across our entire curriculum. I would think we would teach everyone to behave entrepreneurially. And I think that it would have an incredibly impactful effect on our recruiting, on our admissions, on our all the things that are important drivers for Gettysburg. And I like to think that, candidly, my students that helped me start this, they like to think of themselves as the founders, and I think that they're right. We, you know, from zero to one is the first big step. I think that from one to ten we can do pretty quickly, and I'm very, very enthused by the energy. I think if the students continue to participate in the way that we have, we will be able to achieve everything we're hopeful of.
Well, Drew Murphy, Noah Pompan, and Delia Craig, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Jamie.
Thank you, Jamie. It's been a great pleasure.
That's On Target for this week. We'd like to thank Drew Murphy, Delia Craig, and Noah Pompan for being our featured guests today.
We'd also like to thank the staff of the Gettysburgian and the executive board of WZBT for their ongoing support of this project. Be sure to subscribe to On Target on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, and you can also now listen to it in the Gettysburgian's brand new app.
On Target is a joint production of the Gettysburgian and WZBT. Our theme music was composed by Diego Rocha, of the class of 2019, who is a music major focusing on composition from the Sunderman Conservatory of Music.